Speaking the truth to the state capitol. This is Drive Time Lincoln with the commander, Jack Rickens, on the voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, Monday, April 24th. It is just a normal Monday, 69 degrees. It's trying to get here. I'm your host, Jack Riggins. Johnny Cadillac's executive producing the show. We got a good show lineup today. We've got professional golfer out of Omaha, the pride of Nebraska, the pride of Ralston, Scott Gucheski, who will join us here first segment to talk about his win at the Lacombe Suncoast Classic, if I got it right. Some of these corn tour events, let me tell you, folks. Bottom line is this guy is a state treasure. He's really a national treasure to all golfers. And so can't wait to get him on. Second segment, we're going to have Brooke Fullerton from Lincoln Area Youth for Christ, parent life director, to talk to us about some of the challenges that go with youth parents and what they deal with and the struggles and what we do here in the local Lincoln community about that. Programming note, folks, this is my last week on Drive Time Lincoln. I am hanging it up on Friday. On Friday, we will have a big announcement about new programming and the future of this hour here on KLIN. So I think we'll have plenty of time throughout the week to discuss that if you want. All I can say is it's been a joy for 2 years to work here at KLIN, from Amy to Steve, Caleb, all the folks that kind of manage the station, manage me. It's been a wonderful opportunity. I have thoroughly enjoyed it, especially being a non-professional radio guy. I've tried to do my best. Ultimately, it's pretty easy. My goal was to get you interested in politics, to get you interested in caring about it at all levels, and ultimately to get you motivated to go out and vote. Listen, if 100% of Americans, or in this case, Nebraskans and Lincolnites, go out and vote, then whatever the vote is, I can live with. I just can't stand when we're not using our freedom to participate in our great system. And just like you, each one of us, my vote is no more important than your vote. And so I think we've accomplished that mission. And so looking forward to doing some other things with my semi-retired life.
I will say more on Friday, but I'll say it's been nice working with you myself, Jack. I'm not going anywhere.
Johnny, you just I'll still want be another here, free but lunch. Yeah, Johnny will still be here.
And no, I say that sincerely. It's been a lot of fun for me.
Well, no worries. We still got another week, and God knows what will happen. Let's get to Scott Gucheski. Scott, welcome back to Drive Time Lincoln.
Thanks for having me.
Well, and congratulations. I think the last time you were on the show, we were celebrating the call up to the PGA Tour. And I just have to say how proud of, knowing you a little bit, but how proud I am of you continuing the journey, because after all, you are a pro golfer. And I every time you get in that spotlight, you get emotional. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But can you just, 24 hours later, summarize it a little bit about the journey and to win again on the Korn Ferry Tour, what it means to you and your family?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I guess with my kids taking such an interest in golf and kind of being all in on golf, it means that much more to me. But, you know, just the ups and downs of golf and the, you know, the tough times and the feeling like you just can't win and you just can't get over the hump and you're super close, but it's just not working out. And it can be such a fickle game, and so silly, and, you know, crazy things happen out there. And then when things go your way, it's like, gosh, maybe I am doing the right thing here. You know what I mean? Maybe I am on the right path. But it's such a hard game, and it's so hard to be good at it consistently, that, you know, when you get in those situations and you kind of finally do the things right that you kind of preach to your kids about what they should do. And, you know, even when you try to get them on that path, and then when you kind of, things kind of work out for you, it's just, you know, it's just a lot of work. And it's just, for me, it can be a little overwhelming, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, no, and I think it's great because your interviews are always so raw, you know, in these moments, whether it be, you know, when you last got called up to the tour. And I think that for people that maybe don't play, what I always enjoy, even though you're at the most elite level, is you communicate as you just did. Like all of us, no matter whether you're a 25 handicap, a scratch, or a pro, you are able to articulate the struggles that we all feel, most of us just trying to enjoy the game. But I also think, and you said it there, is, I mean, we can't talk about you these days and all you've done in golf, whether it be at Ralston, you know, one of the best University of Nebraska teams they've ever had, to year long. Probably it's going to be tough for somebody born, raised in Nebraska to beat your wherewithal in pro golf. But your, you know, your family, you know, I love it. I go, the first article I go to goes about your family, right? Luke at Iowa State, Trevor's at Westside. You know, you know, you've got your daughter playing at Duchesne, and then I think Isaiah also is winning, you know, young. And if you're not in the golf community, it's difficult to raise young golfers, let alone be a pro golfer. And so I do think the emotion comes from, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but the overjoyed success of raising a family, them loving the game, a wife that's supportive of your endeavors, and then you succeeding.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I guess when my kids were growing up and they started hitting balls around the house, you know, with plastic clubs and plastic balls, you know, my whole thing was let's just make sure these kids enjoy the game. Let's just make sure they don't resent golf, because it's obviously a huge part of my life, and I didn't want it to be the thing that took me away from them when they were young.
Right.
So I didn't want them to resent the game. So with my oldest Luke, I would, you know, I'd take him out to practice with me, and I'd just let him do what he wanted. I'd let him have fun. If he wanted to play in the sand, he could play in the sand. If he wanted to hit golf shots, he could hit golf shots. And I just kind of let him do it on his own. And, you know, I kind of did the same thing with Isabel and Trevor. Isabel didn't take to it. Isabel really didn't start playing until she got to high school.
Mm-hmm.
But Trevor took to it. And now we have Isaiah, who's about to be 7. He's taken to it a little bit. He hits balls in the basement. He plays soccer. He plays baseball. He plays basketball. He does what kids should do, and he has fun. And I think, you know, obviously, I don't think I'm any different than a lot of other people. You know, I have the pipe dream in my head that it'd be really cool to see my kids be a professional golfer or something like that, right? I know it's a crazy, outlandish dream. But what I have learned from my career as a professional and seeing other people is that you've got to love what you're doing to get to that level. And if you don't love it, you're just going to find other things, because it's too hard to spend so much time at it if you don't love doing it, because you've got to be self-motivated.
Yeah.
You know, there's no coach calling, there's no teammates calling. So I think, you know, it started with just not wanting them to resent it. And then it just kind of said, well, I want them to have fun, and I want them to enjoy it. And if they enjoy it and then they have a little bit of success, they'll want to get better. And then just kind of helping them along the way and, letting them figure things out on their own. But also, you know, making sure they're not getting too far off path.
Sure. Yeah. You know, that's the thing. I think, you know, whenever, if you ever, you know, move on from golf, there's just a lot for the rest of us to learn as parents and how to facilitate whatever it is our kids want to do. And then obviously in your own golf, just how to stay at it to improve. And then, you know, doing it with the family. I mean, at this point, you play a young man's game. I think the last time we talked, you know, you talked a lot about you got to make birdies out here. You got to make birdies out here. And I guess this week, my friend, 21 under par. And then depending on media accounts, I'd like to break the story. It's either a 40-footer or 60-footer to win this thing in overtime. But you made plenty of birdies this week.
Yeah, it was, I mean, gosh, it was a fun week. You know, it was, I guess, a relatively slow start. But gosh, things really got cooking on Saturday. And, yeah, I mean, obviously on Sunday, there's some nerves and stuff going on. But yeah, I mean, it was a fun week. I there are a few things that definitely went my way, which, you know, tends to have to happen, to win, but it was just, I mean, it was a fun week. I had a great time. I enjoyed the golf course. Great members at the course, great helpful volunteers and fans. And it was just, you know, we had great weather. It was just, it was a really neat week, and it was really special. And I'll remember it for a long time.
Yeah, that's awesome. So good. Again, we're on with Scott Gucheski. Just won a Korn Ferry event. And again, according to the statisticians, you've moved up to what, ninth, sixth in the Korn Ferry rankings?
Yeah, I think it's ninth. Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to feel good. I mean, clearly, if you're in it, you're still going. I call you the timeless golfer. You know, you represent so much. I mean, you could be out there, you know, planting in the fields and then just put your clubs on your back and go. You could be, as you are, a guy from Omaha, but you represent kind of the Nebraska work ethic. And why, there's no reason, just keep on going as long as it's working for the family. I think this story is just so uplifting, and why I wanted you to come on here. Is that the deal? You just keep on going? I mean, like you said in your article, I guess I don't know when to quit. Well, I would say no reason to quit when you love something, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm probably going to play until they, you know, drag me away kicking and screaming. If I can stay healthy and competitive, I think I'd love to give the senior tour a chance. In a
Absolutely.
Few years. I mean, that's not that far off.
No, and I want you to stay healthy, because as your family continues to get better at golf, I want to be able to, you know, just walk behind you guys and listen to it and watch all this play out over the next decade.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting tougher and tougher to beat my kids. That's for sure. They are definitely doing their part in keeping me sharp.
For us golfers, you know, the folks that love the game, what would you say in your journey, you know, almost 20 plus years, maybe more, you know, what's been the biggest changes in the game that you've struggled with as the rest of us watch golf from the outside? And how have you overcome that?
Well, I mean, you know, the game has changed a lot. I mean, you know, the driver heads have gotten a lot bigger. The ball goes a lot further, spins a lot less. But the whole mentality is totally flipped. You know, I remember countless times hearing from my college coach and my high school coach, and then even like the first few years when I played professionally, it was like hit fairways, hit greens, hit your 2-iron, get the ball in play, to where now it's just hyper aggressive, where nobody cares if you hit fairways. You just want to hit driver, and you want to hit as far as you can, and you go find it, and then you make a decision from there. And it's so aggressive and so attacking that's the hardest part for me to adapt to. I feel like as a younger golfer, I was too aggressive, and I made mistakes being too aggressive. And as I got older, I started being too conservative because I didn't want to make those mistakes. But by being so conservative, I didn't give myself enough realistic opportunities to make birdies and eagles. So every once in a while, I can kind of get somewhere in the middle of those two and have a pretty decent week. But it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's kind of reprogramming the way I play the game.
Would you say one of the things, and if you could you hold on for our break and we could bring you back just for 2 minutes here sure. before the bottom of the hour? Would that be all right?
Yeah, sure.
I think ultimately you're a story of never quit and just keep grinding. But yeah, just hold on and we'll come back with you, Scott. Really appreciate it. Again, Scott Gucheski on 1499.3 KLIN.
You're getting the 411 from DTL with Commander Jack Riggins on 1499.3 KLIN.
Folks, we're back. We've got Scott Gucheski on the line. If you weren't paying attention or don't know pro golf, listen, 46 years old, he's out there beating the whippersnappers on the Korn Ferry Tour. And I'll tell you what, of all the pro athletes that are active right now or over the last 20 years, Scott Gucheski has outlasted them all and performed at the highest level of his sport, pro golf. And that means something. But he's also raising kids, and he's just a Nebraskan like the rest of us. So, Scott, what's next for you guys?
Well, we're in Huntsville, Alabama this week, playing down here on a pretty nice golf course called the Ledges. And then we got a couple weeks off. So I'll be back home and going to golf tournaments. And then we got a high school graduation coming up and baseball games and soccer games. So I'll be home and I guess be a dad for a couple of weeks.
I hear you, man. We're knee deep in Southwest soccer right here in Lincoln, probably like top four in the state, and I'm loving it. I just love going and watching my kids compete and just see part of the team, and I bet you do as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pinnacle Bank Championship will be year-end again here at Indian Creek up in Elkhorn, I guess. I call it Elkhorn. It's probably Omaha now. We'll see you there, won't we, unless you get the call up.
I will be there unless I get the call up. If I rattle off two more before then, I might not be there. But right now, I'm planning on being there. And it, as always, it'll be my favorite event of the year, and plan on having a great time then.
Well, Scott, I know the entire state's proud of you. I'm proud of you. Proud to know you. The story, the winning to me is just kind of part of it. But. Big deal, man. Big deal. And I just want to thank you for all your approach to it. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good one. 1499.3 KLIN.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Drive Time Lincoln with the Commander Jack Riggins on the Voice of Lincoln, 1499.3 KLIN.
All right, folks, we're back here. Second segment, Monday, April 24th. Hope you enjoyed the first segment with Scott Gucheski, a Korn Ferry Tour and professional golfer. Like, legitimate. Like, a man that is, you know, top 300 in the world. I don't really care about the rankings. The bottom line is the man's one of the best on the planet in his craft, and he's a Nebraskan. And he's been doing it a long time, and he got another win just this weekend. And, I mean, he really represents some of the best of us, not just in applying his trade to do something that's very difficult, and that is to be a professional golfer and win, but the way he raises his family and his whole family unit represents all Nebraskans. And so I like when he shares that. So pretty cool. This segment, we've got Youth for Christ Parent Life Director Brooke Fullerton on, and we're going to get to her in a second. If you didn't hear the announcement, we've got a big week here at KLIN. This is my last week on Drive Time Lincoln. And I am going to move on. I've enjoyed it tremendously. We will have plenty of time throughout the week, even though we're just going to run our normal shows. We've got Phoebe Hampton on for Chariots for Hope tomorrow. Rod Edwards from Nebraska First Pack as well. Doug Fitzgerald's going to fill in the show. I've got high school soccer I got to be at Wednesday. And so y'all know Doug, and he'll be in covering Wednesday. And then Thursday, of course, we're going to have Matt Anderson and Branch Oak Observatory back in. And then Friday, we'll get to our big announcement. I think Caleb's going to come in studio, and we'll let you know the future of this hour and everything that we're excited about here at KLIN. So I'm sure Johnny and I will say a lot of thank yous on Friday. But Brooke Fullerton, Youth for Christ Parent Life Director, welcome to Drive Time Lincoln.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. We were just kind of talking off air. It always amazes me when I find or someone sends me something about, you know, people that are struggling in America. But then I'm always equally impressed by the people that step forward in the organizations that look out for folks. And in this case, we're talking about young folks that are parents.
Yeah. Yes. Pregnant and parenting teens.
Yeah. Explain Youth for Christ. Matt Schulte's been on plenty of times. We generally know the broad mission there, but you're focused kind of on parent life for teens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us about that.
I always joke that it's my favorite one because I get the trifecta of awesome, I call it. It's Jesus, teens, and babies, adorable babies. So, I mean, what could be better? What could be better? So we just come alongside pregnant and parenting teens here in Lincoln. We have a lot of guys. Like, it's kind of a maybe a surprise that a lot of teen dads are stepping up, and they're just really breaking generational bonds and being amazing dads and really trying hard. And they didn't have maybe great experiences themselves, but they are really overcoming it. And I'm just always so proud and so in awe of my dads, and my moms are amazing. There's just a huge stigma that maybe they're not, and they absolutely, that could not be further from the truth.
Sure.
They're amazing parents.
Sure. I know there's been some highlights, and, you know, one of the things I saw, which surprised me, is that of all the youth that are kind of out there, 43% of them are unsheltered. I mean, they're homeless.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And even here in this area, you guys, you know, serve about 1,000, but even in the Nebraska kind of region, we have 23,000 folks, right, you know, that are young and are struggling. And you take, you know, the percentages from national studies. I mean, half of them don't even have shelter.
Yeah, it's a huge problem here in Lincoln. And I obviously can't speak for any other communities, but Lincoln has a huge homeless issue problem. And if you don't know that, like me, then thank God. Yeah, you don't, because it is just, it's a really, really bad problem. 2 hours ago, I was at the Hub with two teen parents trying to figure that out and figure out where they're going to live and how they're going to do life when they don't have a place to live. And that's a very real problem. There's just a lack of quality housing that's safe for them, that's safe for their tiny babies. And when they're coming and going, they need a safe space. They don't need to be harassed going into their apartments. And that's if they can even get an apartment.
Sure.
So there's just so many rules and stipulations, and for good reason. But it's just, if you don't have a co-signer, which most of my teen parents don't, there's just a lot of reasons for that, but they don't. And it's just really, really difficult to get the pay subs that you need to qualify for the apartment, even if it is a low income one. So
I think when people, there's, with anything we have in society, sometimes there's stigmas that people don't realize, or maybe we're biased, but you know, there's been a couple of stories that you've dealt with that, you know, really kind of speak to it. You know, could you give the audience an example of some of the struggles of how a teen, you know, has got to this point, and what you guys can do to help, you know, ease that and get them going in the direction they want to go?
Yeah. So I'm always very careful because these are real people, right?
Yeah.
And it's not my story to share, but I will share like some general information. And this is not unique to just one person, but we have several who are maybe in a domestic violence situation. Mm-hmm. And so to leave that person, it just seems like, yes, absolutely, let's leave that. That's not safe. And that's, again, like, if you don't understand that, praise God, because that means you haven't walked with them or walked in those shoes. And that is very difficult to leave, because maybe you get the courage to leave, maybe you have the resources to leave, but then you have to have a place to go. And that's just really where it gets tough. And so parent life doesn't have magical homes that we all get to live in happily ever after. I wish we did. I really do. But But we don't. So we just connect teen parents. We empower them, let them know that they're worthy of that, that they deserve better. Because a lot of times, maybe from their past family situation or their past partner situation, they don't even believe that they deserve better and that they are worthy of a safe and loving environment to raise their children in and be in themselves. So it's really great. We get to come alongside them and just speak life over them and let them know. Like, I know that I had one girl that I just said, you know, you're better than this. I was dropping her off at a place that I didn't feel safe dropping her off with a child, with 17 people living or staying, I should say, in that place for the night. And she was just better than that. And when I looked her in the eye through tears and said that to her, she said, no, I'm not. And I just, that breaks my heart more than anything, because that's just not true. Like, we know that's not true and they do deserve better. So we get the amazing privilege to come alongside them, speak that life over them, let them believe and begin to believe. It's not an overnight thing. I don't just tell her once and she's like, yep, I'm worthy. So, but then also connect them with different places. Lincoln does have a lot of great resources. And I always am excited to tell all of my kids every day that there is thousands of people in Lincoln that wake up every single day just to make their life better.
Yeah.
To think about food and diapers and transportation and childcare and housing. And so that's really encouraging to them. But we at Parent Life get to walk alongside them, introduce them to faith and Jesus. And we have an answer that housing doesn't have or food bank doesn't have, and that's Jesus that provides every need. And so it's just really awesome for us to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think that, again, folks, you got to take a minute to, thankfully, most of us probably have never been in these shoes, because you would immediately have the sympathy, the empathetic nature. Others of us have to work hard to understand the problem set, the dynamic, and where to go for resources. And I think that, you know, just when you hit it off with something basic, I mean, domestic abuse, violence, whatever, you know, it's bad around the world, it's bad in America, but these relationships and oftentimes young people, you know, there's history. And so it's not as easy as just stepping away. And then there's the, I'm young, I am providing and caring for another very young person, and the basics, which maybe you and I could take for granted.
Right.
Can hamper those decisions. And then, you know, and I like that Parent Life and Youth for Christ is connected within the community and helping people find the resources. Otherwise, you don't inherently just go, you know, I know where all the resources at. It's just not how things work.
That easy.
Right. I mean, even if, like me, if you're going to join the United States military, I mean, it sounds great, but it's like, well, where do I go? What specific job?
Right.
How do I do it? What requires what? You know, to have folks. And then you bring up a good point, which is, I think, you know, the faith-based aspect, which a lot of times, you know, depending on life, people don't know, haven't been introduced, or maybe they're down on their luck. I mean, I don't know anybody out there, but I'm going to tell you, there's been plenty of times I doubted, you know, my relationship with God.
Exactly.
And it happens, but that can be another key cornerstone of help.
Absolutely. And really, that is the key cornerstone, at least at Parent Life. We believe that, and we want to share that with our girls. We have girls that have maybe been in a strict religion where it was a lot of rules and they think that they're no longer welcome. And so just bringing them that message that no matter how far they walked away, it's one step back and God is always waiting with open arms, is awesome. It's so awesome to bring that to them, and to just see that actually resonate in their heart is amazing. And then sometimes they've never heard of Jesus, or maybe they've, you know, heard that people who believe aren't, you know, aren't smart or whatever. And then sometimes they, you know, they've been raised in other religions, lots of other religions, from Wiccan to Buddhist to Muslim. Like, we've seen it all. So we just come alongside them and love on them and just try to be the hands and feet of Jesus, really.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. I know that you guys have a fundraiser also going on around Mother's Day.
Yeah, we do. So what a great thing to implement.
I
keep
up on stuff.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, if you're looking for anything for your mom or the mom of your kids, we have beautiful orchids. They we have lots of different options for sale. And it is at yfclincoln.org/flowers. And that sale's going on through Wednesday. You can order, and you can either have them delivered or pick them up at the Campus Life House.
And some of those proceeds will go to your program.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
folks, a good way to support out. We all don't have the freedom or the time. Maybe we're dealing with other things, you know, to directly help like Brooke and everybody at Youth for Christ. But this is a way that, you know, number one, you can get some flowers for somebody that should be very important in your life and support their cause. What have you learned in the journey of supporting about yourself?
About supporting teens?
Yes.
All the time I'm learning something. I'm learning that it's really important to be depended upon. I run late a lot. And I love to joke about that with my girls and just kind of give them permission to have faults too. I learned that I need to go all in on stuff. It was at the beginning of Lent and I had made a Lent thing. And then I had kind of explained to my mom how, well, if no one hears me say that, like, that's okay then. And she's like, no, absolutely not. Like, you know, God hears you. You need to go all in. So they are constantly teaching me and it's awesome. I learn something every single day from them. For sure.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. You know, and I always like to say, if you can find yourself in a place where you're kind of paying it forward or paying it right, it comes back to you in droves.
Yes.
But you don't always know it right away. And I suspect many of your teens, you know, struggle, but eventually break through and realize, you know, just how special their life is, mm-hmm. how God doesn't make crap.
Right.
We're perfect as
Absolutely.
We are.
Yep.
And obviously the young child that they've yes. given birth to. And that's yes. got to be very gratifying and neat to watch that transformation.
It is so good. And they are, I can't stress enough how incredible of mothers they are. Like, I would say they're better mothers than me for the most part. Like, and I'm a pretty good mom. Like, that's kind of, I pride myself on that. And like, I had a lot of great mom friends when my kids were growing up and they're really good. Like they, I have this one teen mom and she's amazing. She stays alone. And her baby's 12 weeks tomorrow. Wow. And I just asked her today, I said, how have you ever been more than 20 feet from him in 12 weeks? And she said, no, probably not. Like, she's never had a sitter for him. She's never had anyone else watch him. She is breastfeeding the entire time. He's never had any formula. She didn't have an epidural when she had him. She didn't even drink caffeine while she was pregnant. Like, this is crazy dedication. Like, they are incredible people, and they just work so hard to overcome the stigma that teen moms don't know how to parent. And I would say they do it way better than I did as a young mom, and I had a lot of help, so... It's amazing.
I'm going to take a second here. It's one of my personal things, which you alluded to it
yeah.
earlier, which was obviously teen moms, you know, giving birth and that special relationship with a child. But I'm just going to say, dudes, guys, right? We've got to step up. We've got to yes. be there. Listen, it is so important, not just for the mother, but the child, your child, to be part of the whole process. You know, I've had four children and I can tell you that, you know, at some level being gone at times, I feel guilty and upset that I missed those times, but I was there when I was there. And it's just a phase of life where the child, your child needs you. The
yes.
mother needs you,
yes.
you know, step up, whatever you're fearful of, whether stigma, whatever your other guys are telling you.
Yep.
Be involved.
Absolutely. Yes. And like I said, I do have some great dads.
Like, yeah, that's awesome. I was so happy to hear that.
And they are trying so hard and, you know, they don't know a lot about babies. Like,
heck, I got four. I don't know anything about parenting.
Exactly. And it all changes. And yeah, so they are just really, and I mean, Lincoln needs more of that. Like, if anybody's interested in mentoring teen dads, I can always use you. So, I mean, just from anything from playing basketball to taking a baby to the park or, you know, just whatever else, like these guys need. There's a lot of people that pour into teen moms. There is not that pour into teen dads. So we definitely need that.
Yeah, that's a good one. Brooke, I'm going to give you a minute here. Just tell the people of Lincoln how they can help out. You know?
Awesome. Well, there's so many ways to help out. First of all, prayer. Like, please always be praying. Like, speaking to God about teen parents is obviously the best thing that you can do. So we are so grateful for that. And I just love to let the teen moms know, like, people are praying for them. That moves them to tears a lot of times, because maybe for you and me, that's common and people tell us that, but for them, it's not. So mm-hmm. please be praying for them, praying for their mental health and just their resources. And then we can always use support. We have to raise our own support. And so that's always something that we can use. And buying the orchids helps with that. Absolutely. Give you some beautiful beautiful flowers and help a teen mom out while you're at it. So
that's awesome. Brooke Fullerton, Parent Life Director at Youth for Christ. Really appreciate you coming
in. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate
it. Yeah, you bet. Folks, don't forget, go to yfclincoln.org/flowers. Orders are due by the end of the day, Wednesday. Get some orchids and beautiful flowers, mother or whoever, and help donate a little bit to Youth for Christ. 1499.3 KLIN.
You're getting the 411 from DTL with Commander Jack Riggins on 1499.3 KLIN.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed today. Johnny and I are giggling. I love when we come out of breaks, we're giggling. I don't know what we're giggling about. Scott Gucheski, first segment, winner on the Corn Ferry Tour. Just a phenomenal example of a Nebraskan and a pro golfer, family man, all of that. Follow his story. There's articles out there. He's really vaulted up in the Corn Ferry. I don't know what bid this will be to get back on the PGA Tour, but it's safe to say he's on the right track. Brooke Fullerton was on from Youth for Christ, their parent life director, and it's just interesting stuff. I like talking to folks that are out there working, you know, problem sets that most of us maybe don't even know exist out there. We'll continue on. Like I said, this is my last week. So what do I got? Three more shows? Because Doug Fitzgerald's going to cover Wednesday because I got soccer to be at. But I will be here tomorrow. We'll have guests Thursday as well. Matt Anderson from Branch Oak Observatory and Friday. If any of you have any thoughts or questions, if not, no big deal. I just plan to do the news and do the show like I always do. And then we'll have a big announcement on Friday about the programming changes we're going to have at KLIN here. I will say that I am not blind or not listening. I realize that I at times become a very passionate and somewhat controversial radio host, but I can't say enough for KLIN and Broadcast House Media managing me over the last 2 years. I mean, if you think about it, folks, not too many people give somebody with no radio background a chance. And I think we've both ways done a good job keeping the show going for 2 years and trying to achieve my objectives, which is to get people interested in politics and local politics and ultimately get them out to vote. And I'll talk more about that specifically on Friday, long term, you know, what I think is best and how we should all go about our business. But enjoy the rest of your Monday. 1499.3 KLIN.